Okay. Last time we were discussing this section beginning in verse 15, which actually goes back, where we're looking at this as Paul instructs us, how do we encourage one another? How do we uplift one another? One thing we were discussing in that is this is not a text that it gives instructions on whether or not to use instrumental music in worship, but it's a text that talks about how we are to be treating one another and living in relationship with one another. The context of all of this stuff that Paul has been talking about is our daily Christian lives, okay? So as we were looking at that, when he was talking about being under the influence of the Holy Spirit versus being under the influence of alcohol, and then how we are to speak to one another, beginning in verse 19. Speak to another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is how we are to be interacting with songs of joy and so forth. One out of reverence. So again, part of a continuation of what he's been in terms of how we are to one another. We have a submissiveness toward one another. Okay. The very next is in this problems for a lot of folks today in our even with the Lord's church. Okay? Because he said as to for the church, his body, wives should submit to their husbands in everything. So the issue here that is so difficult for folks is the idea of submission. Okay? So in a general sense, okay, we, not just women, but men, we people do not like to have to submit to someone, do we? Okay, that's a tough thing to do. Why? Why is submitting to someone else such a difficult thing to do for us? Amy and then Judy. Okay, we like to be in control. All right? I think that's right. What else?
Well, I think a lot of times we don't understand what the submission is talked about in the Bible.
Right, right.
We think we're supposed to lose all self-identity when we submit to somebody,
right,
especially our husbands. It doesn't mean that we can't have opinions. It doesn't mean that we can voice our views,
okay,
but in the end we submit to whatever our husbands decide on doing.
Okay.
And I think it's really misunderstanding what the Bible means by submission.
Okay. I agree with that. Go ahead.
How about the idea that we're giving up of ourselves to do and be as the other person,
yes,
requests. Or
okay,
their authority or their leadership. We're not going against them. We're giving up from ourselves. And I think the submit part, doing that, is hard because we don't want to give up.
Okay.
What we have.
All right.
Well, to Gabby's point, that has to do with trusting the other person.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you can't trust them, how willing are you able to submit to them?
Okay. All right.
Well, kind of Lynette just said, because I was going to say, I think of submit as putting in. So we put in trust, we're putting in something into,
okay,
the Lord. We're putting our lives into our spouses, for example. We're putting trust. So to me, it's about putting in.
Okay. All right. What does the message of submission, just from our culture and society standpoint, what does that imply? I'm sorry? Weakness, okay? Somebody said weakness. I'm sorry, what else?
Slavery.
Yeah.
All right, slavery. But in so many ways, I think for a lot of people, it simply says, if I submit to you, I'm a second-class citizen, or I'm not as good as you are.
Right.
You see? And that's why I think that so many people have a difficulty with the idea of submitting. And again, not just the wives to their husbands, but, you know, again, verse 21 is all of us are to submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. But we have a difficult time doing that because of the message of submission that people understand so often is that means I'm not as important as you are. I'm not as, you use the word authority, I'm not as powerful as you are, you know, and all of those kinds of ideas. We don't like being second-class citizens, do we? You see? So we need to, before we can properly understand what Paul is writing here to us in these instructions, we need to understand, Judy, you brought out the idea, what is the biblical concept when God tells us to submit to one another? What is his concept of submission? Let's forget about the world's concept. We need to not let the world dictate to us how we respond to what God says, okay? So when we look at the relation, I think the best way to understand the biblical God's concept of submission, all right, is to look at the relationship between the Father and the Son. Okay? Was Jesus submissive to the Father while he was here?
Always.
Always submissive to him. He over and over again stated he does nothing, right, except what the Father has told him to do. So Jesus lived his humanity here in total and complete submission to the Father. Okay? Now, here's a question. Is Jesus a second-class citizen in the Godhead?
No.
No.
Okay? He's not. You see? In fact, the scriptures tell us that he is what? Equal.
Equal to the Father.
To the Father, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? And so him submitting to the Father did not reduce him or move him to a lower position in the Godhead to say, well, you know, he's not as powerful or he's not, you know. No, he is equal to the Father. In Philippians chapter 2, where Paul writes about Jesus, you know, he says, did not consider, and what's the word that he uses? Somebody turn over to Philippians chapter 2.
Equality
with God, something to be grasped. And we've talked about this before. The King James translation translates it this way, thought it not robbery. Yeah. Okay? As if he's taking that by force. Is what? Equality with God by force. That's a terrible translation, okay? All right? Because it doesn't fit the context. The word in the original language for grasp has two meanings. One is to grab a hold of something, again, by force, which is how the translators in the King James chose to translate it. Or the other definition is something to be held onto. You grasp a hold of something, you hold onto it. And that, according to the context, is the proper, okay, is the proper meaning there, okay? He had equality with God, all right? And he let go of it while he came here, all right? But did that make him a second-class citizen? No, not in any way, shape, or form, right?
Jesus was still like God. Mm-hmm. He was still everything he did, he always putting his father up on pedestal.
Okay.
That's the way he did things. Mm-hmm. And to get back to your text, when it comes to women submitting themselves to their husband, but we have, men have somebody to submit to.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
We have to submit to Christ. We have to submit to God.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we have to set that example to our wives. Because
absolutely.
I don't know what I'm going to tell you right now. It's hard for me to not have the respect for my wife as I should have, particularly with all the stuff she has to do. A lot of things I can't do anymore. She had not only tried to get it done, she had stepped up to the plate and beyond.
Okay.
So I'm thankful for that.
Okay.
I'm thankful for her. God gave me this woman. He gave me her. I'm thankful for it. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to make sure that we don't confuse ourselves with this business about what you just said concerning the relationship. Relationship that I have with my wife, relationship she has with me. It's so very important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We lose sight of it, then we lose sight of
everything.
Really, what we're really all about.
Right.
Okay.
Russ.
I'm sorry.
I think we as humans have gotten away from the given roles that we each individual are to take care of, given by God. God gave women a job to do, and he gave the job for the men to lead the family. And we lose sight of it. That's where you get the woman's equality coming in, you know.
Right.
But women don't understand. I always said these women are dumb because I loved always being a woman, okay? I loved for the man to take the responsibility for things. That took it away from me. I love for a man to treat me as a woman. I don't want to be equal. I don't want to be doing the same job he does. I mean, it's a big job that they are responsible for. And women have lost sight of this.
Yes, they have.
Be glad that we're still equal with men, but we have different roles to perform.
All right. Chuck, and then Lynette.
Mm. Let's see here.
Before y'all get going off into the women's submissiveness and all that stuff, I got a couple other things I want to go to first before we get into that discussion, all right? We're primarily right now talking about all of us submitting to one another and the whole issue of submission first, okay? Chuck, go ahead.
Well, again, going to my military background, there's a pay grade that non-commissioned officers can achieve, and that's E8. That's not the highest, but E8. That's a pay grade, E8. Now, in a unit, you can have several E8s, but usually there's one first sergeant who's the senior non-commissioned officer in that position, still an E8, and then you have the other E8s, which are master sergeants. Master sergeants understand they submit to the first sergeant.
Right.
Now, it's not degradation in any way because they're both E8s.
Right.
See, that's to the matter of appointed position.
Yeah.
And like our sister was saying here, the appointed position that God gave men is this position. The position for women is this position. Not that they're any less or any greater. It's just that's the position
right.
They are. They're both equal in God's eyes because the same price was paid for them through his son.
Right.
That makes them that same, quote-unquote, pay grade, if you will. Both of them are priceless
right.
in God's eyes when they become Christian. Now again, in our great Father's wisdom, thank God he provided us with helpmates.
Yep.
But mm-hmm. in also in doing that, he does section out, okay, big fella, put on your big boy pants. You're responsible for everything that happens yeah. in your household.
Yeah.
Everything is within your capability, within your power, within your household. Provide, to nurture, to discipline, to love, and all that. And again, I know that eventually that too is going to be fleshed out as
right.
we continue okay. reading here.
In the EA rank, which one carries more responsibility?
The first sergeant
or the master sergeant?
First sergeant.
You say, again, they're both have the same, in a sense, that same level, but one has more responsibility. We'll talk more about that in a moment. Okay, so within the body, okay, because that's who he's talking to,
mm-hmm.
all right? Within the body, we are to be submissive to one another,
mm-hmm.
all right? Now, generally speaking, we are to be that way to each other, just, you know, as we interact with one another. And so that, would that not fall under the category of that it can't always be one person's way? And it doesn't matter. We're not talking right now. We'll talk about that in just a second here. We're not talking about elders and deacons and so forth, but just members
mm-hmm.
interacting with one another. You see? That we have to learn that I don't always get my way. And that, you know, I need to learn to submit to you, that maybe you and I have different ideas about something, that last time we went my way, this time let's go your way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or whatever the case may be, that we, and that's his point here, we need to learn,
mm-hmm.
okay, to yield is another word for submission, to yield to one another. All right? Just as we generally interact. Now, mm-hmm. within the body, all right, there are different positions that, you know, responsibility that comes in there, as we've been talking about, in terms of submission. So we have an eldership, okay, and the church is instructed to submit to the eldership, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But what about the elders?
They are submit to God.
We not only submit to God, but we submit to one another also.
Right. Absolutely.
You see? We have to have that same spirit and attitude of submitting to one another.
Mm-hmm.
All right? As we work together in shepherding the flock. All right, so there's no, you know, I'm in charge or whatever, we're doing it. No, it's we submit to one another because, and here's the key to this. We go back to what I said about Jesus and his submission to the Father. All right, the same thing applies to our interactions with one another. Same thing applies to, you know, the eldership, to deacons, to whatever position we have. If you have a Bible class teacher that's teaching a class, the students are to, help me out here,
submit
to the teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the idea that Paul wants us to understand, that we are to be submitting ourselves to one another, all right? The reason that's so important for us to do, and the example that we find with Christ submitting to the Father, is so that we accomplish the same purpose. All right? The reason that Jesus submitted to the Father was because he was in tune with the purpose of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that he did was to accomplish what they had decided needed to be done as a Godhead, along with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You see? They were working together towards the same goal. We need to have that same attitude within the church. We have a single purpose, do we not?
Yes, sir.
And when we are submitting ourselves to one another, we are working towards that singleness of purpose as a church. You see?
Mm-hmm.
When we start kind of focusing on what we want, then we lose sight of the singleness of purpose, and bad things start to happen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right? The same thing is true within a marriage relationship. So we take what Paul is getting ready to say here about the church, and we're going to talk more about that in a second here, because he's talking about the church here, okay? All right, and then you apply that to the marriage and family relationship. Should not a husband and wife and the family have a singleness of purpose?
Amen.
Amen.
You say? And so when the family is focused on the same goals and moving in the same direction, submission is a non-issue. Okay? It becomes an issue when one or the other, either husband or wife, becomes focused inwardly, okay, and everything becomes about them, then the husband is not loving the wife as Christ loved the church, and the wife then is going to have a difficulty submitting to the husband because they're not focused on that singular goal. Okay, so we need to follow the example of Christ in a relationship with the Father, in understanding this concept of submission. So we get over the idea that it means I'm a second-class citizen or I'm not as important as everybody else, you say, and that really what it's about is we have the same goal. We have a singleness of purpose, and we're focusing on the same goal. And when we understand that, submission is no longer an issue. Okay? Now, let's look at the rest of what Paul says, beginning in verse 22, all right, through the end of chapter 5. But understand, all right, jump down to verse 32 so that we understand properly what Paul is discussing here, okay? He, after discussing the relationship between husbands and wives and all of this and these things that we typically, that's how we look at, he says, this is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. Okay? So where we typically focus on this passage as being the relationship between a husband and a wife and what they're supposed to do, that's not what Paul's writing about here. Okay? That is not his main subject. His main subject is the relationship between Christ and his church. And that fits within the context of everything else he's been saying through this study, because we've seen all along that Paul is discussing how the church, as a church, is supposed to be functioning. Okay? And so here, he's focusing on the relationship between Christ and his church, and he is using, okay, you listening to me, he is using the analogy of a marriage relationship to show how the church, how the relationship between Christ and his church is supposed to function. All right? So this passage gives us some great information about the relationship between husbands and wives, but that is not primarily what it's about, okay? That is secondary to the message here. The message we need to be looking at is the relationship with Christ and his church. All right, now I saw a hand go up here a second ago. Judy?
I was going to say, again, it brings us back to God give each individual of us a job to do.
Okay.
And no job is too small. And if we focus, and I want to, I like to use the analogy of a gift given to us. We have a gift given to us. If we focus on that gift and do it to the best of our ability, then this submission. You submit to Christ. If you submit to Christ, you will submit to one another.
Sure.
You know, and you will do the job that's given and not, okay, for example, Nancy just keeps the book. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's her talent.
Did you get me down, by the way, Nancy?
But somebody else may want the job, I don't know, like say what Carla does. Carla does an excellent job in what she does. And somebody may think, well, I'm just doing bookkeeping. I want her job. That's not being in submission, right. You know. You submit to the talent that is given to you, and you do it to the best of your ability. You may have to recruit some help, or if you are recruited, you follow through with it. And that's submission. And the same thing applies between the relationship of a husband and a wife.
Right. Here's the thing I want you to think about. As we look at what Paul says here, all right, I want you to try to shift your thinking away from husbands and wives, okay, and shift it to Christ and the church, all right? And the reason that I say that is because, again, we that's typically how we look at this passage. He's talking about husbands and wives and how they're supposed to be with one another. No, he's not, okay? And so the result of that is we focus entirely on the marriage relationship, and then we miss the primary message about the relationship between Christ and his church. Okay? So we need to understand properly, and that's what we're going to go through this, we need to properly understand the relationship between Christ and the church, and then simply take that and apply it to the husband-wife relationship. Okay? So that's how I want you to be thinking about this as we look at this. Lynette?
This passage always reminds me of this couple up in Michigan that I just can never help thinking about this every time the scripture comes up. Because he obviously didn't understand the scripture, but he would always go to the preacher and say, "Preacher, tell my wife to submit to me." It's like, are you kidding or what? I don't know if he got it or if he was joking, but I don't think he was joking.
There's too many people that aren't joking, and that's why I say we need to get away from looking at this as a marriage thing and look at it as a church and Jesus thing. I have all kinds of people, you know, men that will come and they're, you know, same thing, but they're serious. You need to get my wife to submit to me. The Bible says she, and I've dealt with families who are being ruined by a husband who is demanding that his wife submit to her,
well,
you see, and so forth, and they're using this passage as the proof text.
Mm-hmm. He's obviously not doing his job.
He's not, you see. but that's the idea, because people are focusing on the wrong thing here. All right? Kathy?
I just keep thinking about Philippians 2. Remember, Christ took the very nature of a servant.
Right.
He put himself as nothing. Right. And in the church, we need to remember that. And even into the marriage, but you said not to say that. But anyway, you want us to do that. So we have to think of ourselves. I think the word is humble. Humbly.
Yeah.
Be humble to one another. Humbly accept your position, whatever that is. And humbly submit.
Right.
Because the Lord did it, because he loved us so much, he gave himself for us. Right. So that's important.
Right. So when we understand properly the relationship between Christ and his church, and then we in a sense kind of transfer that image in our mind over to the husband-wife relationship, then we will have a proper understanding of what Paul is writing here, okay? Mm-hmm. But so let's make sure we understand, let's make sure we understand the church-Christ relationship, all right, Ray?
And I think that's the most important thing, as what Sister Kathy just mentioned, also our focus on what Christ did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
He submitted to the Father. Mm-hmm. Always building the Father up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not himself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Not himself. It wasn't about him. Although we know it's so important about what he did. But he was submissive to God. And that's the thing. And see, it's like anything else. Like, you got God, you got Christ, and in the church, you got elders, you got deacons, you got congregation. Everybody, somebody over somebody.
Right. Absolutely.
Somebody is over somebody. There's no need you thinking it's all about me.
Right.
No.
Therefore, we all have someone to submit to.
All about Christ.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
All about him.
Yep. All right. Okay, so let's look at what is Paul saying about the relationship between Christ and the church, okay? I wish there was a way to for you to overlay in your pages all of the stuff where it mentions husbands and wives here. Let's just look at what does he say about Christ and the church, all right? So in verse 23, he says, Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is Savior. Okay? Now, as the church submits to Christ, okay?
That's us.
All right? So we need, first of all, to understand that relationship is, first and foremost, that Christ is what? He is the head of the church. Okay? He is the head of the church, and he is also the... Help me out here.
Savior.
The Savior of the church. Okay? So he is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the church. And Paul further identifies the relationship here between Christ and the church as one of which the church is his what?
Body.
His body.
Yeah.
Okay? So basically in this part, he's saying... You have a head, or you have a body, and in that body you have a head, okay? And then the body is made up of everything else, all right? And Christ is the head, and the church, which is us, is the body.
The body.
Okay? All right, how many heads
one.
Does it have? It's got one head, right? And who is that head?
Christ.
Christ, not us, okay? Not the Pope, all right, or anybody else. Okay? One head over the church. Now, when it comes to the issue of submission, and that's what he says, verse 24, the church submits to Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
How does that play itself out in a practical sense? You know, on a kind of everyday decision-making, doctrines, practices, and everything else. How does that work? How does it play itself out?
This is our guide, then.
Okay, we have the Word, okay, which if you make a connection, in the beginning was the
Word,
and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, okay? All right, the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. It's talking about Christ, right? Who is the what of the church? The head. So we have the head who's given us his Word to instruct us as to how he wants us to live, right? And how he wants us to be in relationship with one another and to be his church. Okay, everybody following so far? So, what does that mean when it comes to, I know what the Bible says about this, but...
Here we go.
Okay? In other words, why do we have, up to last count, I think there's like, you know, 1,300, I don't even remember, I've lost count, how many denominations of Christians, quote unquote, just in America today? Why is that so? Simple answer, because they have stopped submitting to the head. It's that easy. All right? Somebody in, you know, somewhere has said, okay, well, yeah, I know it says that, but, you know, what about this idea? Okay? And now they're going to go off and start their own direction and do what they want to do instead of what Christ is said to do. They are no longer submitting to Christ as the head of the church. Right? And they're going to form their own, you know, creeds and their own doctrines, their own confessions of faith, and the things that if you want to be part of this church, then these are the things you have to believe and the things you have to agree with and so forth. Okay? Well, you know, can they do that?
That's our
Exactly. They can. They're doing it. So obviously they can do it. But are they part of the Lord's church?
No.
No. Because you cannot do your own thing, okay, and not submit to Christ and be part of Him. Mm-hmm. It'll be part of His body. Because why? There's one head. Okay? And so when people decide they're going to go in their own direction concerning what God has already taught and made clear to us, then they cease to become part of His body.
Yeah.
All right? We need to understand that. People, we need to be able to tell people that, share that with people, to let them know you're not following, you're not submitting to the headship of Christ over His church. Because He's already said, here's how things are supposed to be. Mm-hmm. All right? Ours is not to debate those things. Ours is to submit to His headship. Mm-hmm. All right? Chuck, you have a hand up?
Well, you mentioned, you were talking about that, and a thought occurred to me that the scriptures that we have are perfect in every way.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we like it or not, they are perfect and complete in every way. There has been no update to the scriptures.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Now, in today's society, people understand that no matter how good the software they think it may be, invariably, they're always needed.
Update.
Mm-hmm. The scriptures have not needed an update. So your statement, and then when someone says, but no update required.
Right.
It's complete. It's all we need.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there just simply says, I know it says, but I'm not going to follow it. I mean, that's really what they're saying.
Right.
Okay? And so that means, basically, I'm not going to submit to Him. I know what He said, but I'm not submitting to Him. I want to do this instead.
That's where we got all the versions of the Bible now, huh?
Well, I was thinking about that when Chuck was talking. We don't need an update on God's Word, but there are updates to the translations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
But we need to be really careful there to make sure that you have an accurate translation, one that comes from the original language, okay, rather than some of these paraphrases that are out there where someone has said, oh, this is what I think it means.
Right.
Or we're going to, you know, we'll make it easier to read, okay, and actually some of those things where they're changing what it actually says. Okay, changing the meaning of the text because it reads easier, but it's not accurate, okay? So while we need the translations, because while I can study Greek, I can't read it, okay? I need a lot of help, you know, to understand, you know, the Greek. How many of y'all know Greek? How many of you know Hebrew or Aramaic? Okay, I don't either, okay? I don't like Hebrew because you read it backwards, and that's just weird to me, okay? But no, I'm just joking. But, you know, so we have to have an English translation, okay? Just like any other language. How many of you know other foreign languages? You know, you want to know, Judy knows German, but I try to talk German, it's like, you know, that ain't happening, right? So, you know, we have to have things translated into a language we understand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the different Bible translations are, but we have to make sure that, again, they are accurate translations. Mm-hmm. All right? And so, and again, there's no perfect accurate translation because they're all done by
men,
okay? And so we have to keep that in mind also. All right? That's why it's good sometimes to compare, you know, different translations in the sea. Just like the example I gave you in Philippians chapter 2, you know, the difference there between one and another. So we just have to be aware of that when it comes to reading all these. But Chuck, you're exactly right. There's no update, you know, Bible 2.0, you know, that God sent out, you know, His Word, you know, so I've changed it. But unfortunately, that's what a lot of people are trying to do with the Bible, and that's what they're trying to say, is that, in fact, the Catholic Church takes the position that they are the ones who gave us the Bible, and so they have the right then to interpret it for the times, is how they put it. Okay? And so then what that leaves is you're open then to always changing the interpretations to fit what the world is asking for. All right? And again, it comes back to this. All right? Christ is the head of the church. Mm-hmm. All right? And the church submits to Christ. All right?
I just wanted to know, what do you think? I'd like humbly your opinion on what is the best translation we have now.
I think the ESV is probably one of the best modern-day translations. It's very accurate. I oftentimes use the NIV. In fact, that's primarily what I use. But it is very accurate and reliable. The problem I have with the ESV, in fact, the Bible that you usually see me with, you know, when I'm preaching up there is the ESV. But I'm not used to, this may sound kind of weird, but I'm not used to it. Because I've been using the NIV for so long, and I look at it and I know where things are in the pages, and I look at that one and go, and then, you know, the way it's worded sometimes is just a little bit different. It's not that it's inaccurate, it's just different than the way the NIV. And yeah. So I'm not quite as comfortable with that as I am with it, but as far as accuracy, it is a very accurate translation. The ESV or the NIV is good. The American Standard Version or ASV is good. It's just an older version. The New King James is a good translation.
Yes.
It's accurate for the most part. I mean, just like the King James is fairly accurate. There are, again, always some things that, you know, we can go, that's not quite as, but those are the exception rather than the rule. The thing that's good about the King James, New King James, is if you like the King James, the New King James just simply takes the archaic language out of it, the thou and thee and so forth, and puts you and me, you know, in there. It's modern language, but it hasn't changed really any of the translation itself. So, any of those I would highly recommend.
Okay, thank you.
All right? Okay, we're out of time. We're going to continue next week talking about the relationship of Christ and His church, all right? So let me encourage you to do this. If you haven't already done this, go back and read through this section and just try to, in your, you know, as you're reading it, take out the wording concerning husbands and wives, all right? And just focus on what He says about Christ and the church.
Amen.
All right?
Okay.
Okay, thank you all very much.
Thank you.